he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the new week, the Monday live edition. It's 6-6-22. Do you know where your portfolio is at today? This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Keit, chartered financial analyst, and it should be another busy and active week like most weeks are. We kind of ended off on a really sour note last Friday. It was a kind of a really kind of a yucky day. Today we're off to a good start. We'll see if we can hold on to that. Throughout the day, the Dow is up 325 right now. That puts it at 33,223. The NASDAQ, which got whomped on Friday, is having a good day today. The NASDAQ is up 226. That's 1.9% gain today. It's back to 12,239. The S&P 500 is up 1.4% right now, at 4,166. The Russell 2000 up about 5 points here today. Maybe because crude oil is steady today. Maybe that's helping the markets. Crude oil is down 1 penny, but it sits at 118.86. And I was watching, I looked at it on Saturday. It was up over $120 a barrel. We've got gold having a decent day. It's up $6.50 to $18.52. Silver's up 34 cents to $22.25. We've got interest rates moving higher, 2.98%. We get the CPI report later this week. And Bitcoin, well, it's got a little bit of lift underneath it right now. It's at $31,476. Up 1,800 so far today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry Keit, chartered financial analyst. Barry, we ended the week on Friday. It was really a kind of a nasty day.
Yeah, we're kind of in the weird spot, and I remember kind of coming out of the housing crisis in 08-09, where kind of good economic news was bad news, right, for stocks, because that meant interest rates could stand to be a bit higher.
The jobs report came in
a little stronger than expected. And of course, you know, a lot of folks, I think Bank of America either mentioned over the weekend or late on Friday that, you know, until you start seeing, you know, job growth dissipate, right, and potentially wages dissipate, then the Fed really has the green light to continue to increase rates. So I think that's really probably why the NASDAQ kind of took such a hit. And, of course, what you had Tesla down, I think, 10% because of Elon's funny. It wasn't the Jamie Dimon stuff that you mentioned in the newsletter. It wasn't weather related. It was, what was it he said?
He just had a feeling.
The economy was not. I forget what the funny quote.
He had
was.
A bad feeling.
A super bad.
Yes.
Feeling, I think is what
about
he said.
And that was enough to take 10% out of Tesla. Yeah. We'll see if any shareholders sue him for those comments. But you know, this week the big one's going to be the CPI report. And from what I can figure out here, it looks like it's on Friday.
Friday, yeah, it'll come
That's
out.
That's unusual.
Comes out on Friday, so we've got so the markets will get to anticipate that all week, right?
I think I'll call in sick on Friday because that could really move the market. And the other thing that's kind of weird here is this feud all of a sudden that has erupted between Elon Musk and Bill Gates, of all people. And, supposedly Gates has been funding some of this Me Too stuff against Musk. And that's just a weird deal. I mean, Gates does not like Musk. Musk does not like Gates. And those two are going at it. And I guess Gates doesn't like the fact that Musk is trying to take over Twitter. And Musk is kind of hemming and hawing today again, and Twitter's down. He still wants to see how many fake accounts and how many spammers and how many robots, bots are out there that Twitter is counting as daily users. And he's not getting any answers, which tells me that, you know, it's probably a lot higher than they've been letting on. They said it was less than 5%. Okay, we'll look around the world today. Boris Johnson out of the UK faces a no-confidence vote from his Conservative Party Monday that could force him to resign if he loses, but it does not look like he will lose that he will lose that no-confidence vote. And also, you know, that Partygate, that was kind of a weird thing. The guy had a little party during COVID, and they've just gone after him, you know, like no tomorrow over that.
And, yeah, never. And he thought it was going to go away. It just keeps, it's been since the original lockdown, which, you know, probably not a good look when you're having a party while you're telling everyone else to stay inside during Christmas of 2020. But, you know, it's a year and a half.
Yeah. I can think of worse things that world leaders have done, but he can't seem to shake it, and they just keep after him for that. Okay, the sector of the week last week, without question, I mean, the energy sector, that was a big centerpiece of the newsletter on Friday. Besides Hurricane Jamie Dimon, which he's predicting to come up the Atlantic coast and sweep through the Northeast and the Midwest and the South and the West and the Northwest and all this and that, his big warning last week, the oil and gas stocks, really, as I rank these asset classes on a daily basis, there's really about four or five asset classes, okay? Like, stocks is one asset class. But within stocks, there's large cap, mid cap, small cap, international, emerging market, this and that, you know, from different parts. So they're subsectors, asset classes. The number one ranked asset class now for many, many weeks is an asset class that has not really led the market for quite some time, but this year it's king, and that's commodities. We're talking wheat, soybeans, flour, oil and gas, natural gas, you know, molybdenum, whatever commodity it is, and that's because of inflation. So, you know, having themes to build your portfolio around are very important. And of course, one of our main themes since the beginning of the year has been inflation, which I don't think is going away anytime soon. And it almost seems a given that we're going to see two more 50 basis point hikes. That's for sure. It seems like every Fed governor has signaled that. So at the next Fed meeting, another 50 basis points. And, of course, you've already got the 30-year mortgage over 5%. I'm starting to hear some of my friends that are in the mortgage business moan a little bit about the slowdown in their business. Who's going to refi, you know?
Well, and at worst, they don't have it. Yeah, forget new purchases. The one thing they don't have is any more refis.
No.
Because if you were able to refi, you likely already did.
So. Yeah. And now at 5%, who's going to refi from 3 to 5? I would say probably the one thing that is a good thing for them is a lot of money is accumulated that people can take out if they want.
Yep, they could do a cash-out refi, essentially.
I was reading, like, over the last year, I think $1 trillion in equity has grown in people's, you know, home ownership. But the energy stocks keep climbing. Saudi Arabia is really the only country out there that has the capacity to juice the dial a little bit and put more oil out. But other than that, they're really, I mean, you can call on them to produce more all you want, but they don't really have the capability to do that. and you know, Russia, that's going to be a declining production over the years as all of the companies with the leading technology in the world are pulling out of Russia, have pulled out of Russia, and so they're going to just see their oil production, I think, in decline for many, many years. And that just does not bode well for oil prices. The average price nationwide for gasoline today is $4. This is as of yesterday, $4.85, with no relief in sight. Well, cogitate on that during the break. We'll be back with a whole lot more. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're off to a good start this week, but the pattern lately has been up 300 one day, down 300 the next day, up 300. And overall, I mean, if you look at a chart of the S&P 500, just look at a two-year chart or a one-year chart, you're pretty much still in a downtrend, especially in the NASDAQ. And, you know, every support level has really failed to hold on the way down. Now we finally, we're going to see. I 2 weeks ago, I said maybe a bottom has been put in here. We did hold that bottom all last week, and now we'll just have to see whether or not it continues to hold going forward. Has the worst been baked into the cake of the market so far? That remains to be seen. That comes down to our macro outlook, which we publish in the newsletter every week. I updated it again on Friday. If you didn't get the newsletter, it goes out to all of our clients and subscribers, do-it-yourselfers that follow my live trades and my portfolios and the newsletter every week, my macro calls. We offer 2 free weeks if you go to Gunderson Capital, GundersonCapital.com. All right, so more news here this week. It's going to be a busy week, as always. But I want to go back to the asset class. The asset classes, by the time I subdivide everything, there's about 35 that I track. And there's been some new ones that have come along, like Bitcoin, you know, the cryptocurrencies is an asset class. I consider the inverse funds as an asset class. But the commodity index, DBC, has a large lead. I use DBC as my proxy to gather the data from. It has a large lead. Way back in second place is the MLP, which is the pipelines, the oil and gas pipelines. And then in third place is the large cap dividend index, which includes a lot of commodity stocks. So that really is kind of the only game in town. I hate to say it, but it is. I mean, large cap tech, I don't think so. Yeah, emerging markets, I don't think so, right?
Well, and last week being representation, you know, I think 10 out of the 11 sectors, right, that, you know, were down last week. My guess is, if I had to guess what that other, I don't know what that other
sector
was.
Well, absolutely, energy.
I would imagine it has to be. So.
Energy. Okay, so if you break it down into the sectors, the app currently ranks the Dow U.S. oil exploration sector number one. The solar energy index is number two. It's had a couple of good weeks, but it's very unpredictable. It got good news today. I guess President Biden, I don't know if it's good news or not.
Some tariffs. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think the problem here is, at least in the solar industry here, is of course, as with everything else, we had some supply chain issues and, you know, tack on the tariffs there. So, you know, if you remember back in, you know, one of the things that killed the solar industry, I think in the early 2010s was China dumping a bunch of, you know, solar panels and film right onto the markets, and part of that is what led to those tariffs, I think, that President Trump kicked in. But, you know, removing those tariffs, I think it'll take, you know, they're hoping it'll kind of loosen the supply chain up so they can actually finish some projects. So, you know, it could be a mixed bag, I think, probably for U.S. solar, you know, U.S. solar, you know, panel, certainly, you know, panel makers, but at least it'll get some projects done. So, you know, folks that make inverters like Enphase could benefit, those types of things. But
okay, so I had a solar representative out to my house. We get a lot of sun here. I mean, my house is in the sun. The backyard is in the sun most of the day. And he did a little study, you know, on how much we use every month and whatnot. And he came to the conclusion that if they put a solar panel every possible spot they could on my house, I'd get one half of what I need. So, you know, that's another problem, okay? It's not the end all. It's not a 100% solution. So now you got to ask yourself, well, is it worth it? You know, on the one hand, I cut my electric bill in half. On the other hand, I'm making a monthly payment to the solar company.
And you got holes in your roof now.
Yeah, and I got these panels all over my house.
I'm not a big fan of poking holes in a perfectly good roof.
That's kind of where I get.
Holes in a roof, they tend to leak at some point.
With the kind of rain we get here.
Exactly.
So, you know, the only real benefit is, well, the federal government gives you whatever it costs to put in the solar panels, you get 25% back year one in a tax, you know, credit. And over 3 years, the state also does a 20, but they max out, I think it may be at 10 grand. So you can write off 3 grand. And then you're done with the tax credits, and then you're stuck with the holes in your roof and solar all over your house. You know, I have to weigh it out, you know, in my mind. If I could have got 100%, I think it'd be a no-brainer.
Well, and there's a lot of variables. If they made roof, you know, so, you know, the shape of your roof has a lot to do with
that
it.
That has
too,
a lot
right?
to I do mean, with
if
it, yes.
If it's you know, the roofs that we were all used to having as a kid, right? You know, basically look, you know, basically a triangle, right?
Then yeah.
Great. There's a lot of flat space.
I don't have that kind of roof.
No, nowadays there's a lot of pitches and other things
to
homes, and it just makes it a little bit less feasible in certain instances. So.
Yeah. So, anyways, I mean, that's my 2 cents on solar. Okay, now, the energy stocks just keep climbing with crude prices, OPEC, and especially the liquid natural gas. Now, the leading sectors in the market, the other three are, I think I printed the top five in my newsletter, they were all, you know, natural resource related. Or oil and gas related, because even the oil and gas sector is divided up into several subsectors. You have the companies that ship the oil. You have the pipeline stocks that are pretty much kind of dividend paying stocks. You have the companies that actually take the risk and explore for oil and get the oil. You have the companies that do all of the equipment, you know. They're kind of the picks and shovel companies of the oil. You have the refiners. And, you know, the refiners are really in a sweet spot right now because of the margins that they have. So it's an interesting world that we live in. Cleveland Fed's Mester, she's one of the governors, she's the Cleveland Fed president, Loretta Mester. She does not agree with Jamie Dimon. She says that she doesn't see a hurricane, but she admits there's an elevated recession risk. Well, I think if inflation keeps climbing and gasoline prices keep climbing and interest rates keep climbing, I think it's going to be very difficult to avoid a recession myself. But of course, the Fed, you know, they're not in the business of saying that they screwed up. and they're going to cause a recession. All right, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back with a lot of individual stocks to talk about. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. The market holding on to its gains. The NASDAQ, in fact, they've gotten a little hotter here. The NASDAQ's up 224. The Dow's up 306. It's kind of getting back what it lost on Friday. And I would say the oil stocks are a little bit of profit-taking going on in the energy patch. How much higher can oil go? It hit $120 a barrel on Saturday. Yeah, I guess oil trades all weekend. And the national average price for a gallon of gas reached $4.85 yesterday. Well, here's one of the issues. Chevron CEO Mike Wirth said on Friday that he does not expect another oil refinery will ever be built in the U.S. again, due to decades of federal government policies. They're just not wanted, Barry. Who wants a refinery in their town? He says, we have not built a refinery in the United States since the 1970s. And his personal view is there will never be another new refinery built in the United States. He says you're looking at committing capital 10 years out that will need decades to offer a return for shareholders in a policy environment where governments around the world are saying, we don't want these products. He says at every level in the system, the policy of our government is to reduce demand. So it's very hard in the business where investments have a payout period of a decade or more. He stated that the policy of the government for a long time has been to reduce demand for fossil fuels. And so as a consequence, refining margins have exploded to historic highs on surging demand for gasoline and diesel. Let's not forget that China's coming back online.
Yeah, you know, I was reading something. Their demand was basically, while they're in lockdown, reduced, you know, their global demand by like a million barrels a day. So let them open back up, right? And you've got another million barrels per day of use and demand.
Yeah. So. Well, we own several refinery stocks, from some of the largest ones, and we even own some of the smaller ones in our emerging growth portfolio. They've been absolutely on fire here recently. So, eventually... I was just thinking, what could eventually bring oil prices down? Well, I can just think the last demand destruction that brought oil prices down was another wave of COVID. I mean, that if I started to see the COVID picking up again or some other virus, then maybe you're seeing a top in the oil prices. That took it to its knees last time. It took it to a negative price. But for now, it continues to just, there's no stopping it right now.
Well, and you've got shortages of things that you need to make electric vehicles. I mean, lithium, computer chips. You got a shortage across fossil fuel and renewable energy.
That's one of the stories this morning in the in Seeking Alpha. Battery metal cost,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And shortages could add years to the pursuit of cheaper electric vehicles. So in other words, the demand side of the equation is not going to drop because of us replacing rapidly our cars. Are we going to have a Cuba situation? Or we're driving 57 Chevys or whatever, 92 Accords.
Yeah, there's certainly, I mean, I see certainly a period of time where you're going to have, groups of people who don't want to go electric, right? Or just by nature, you know, their diesel dually is not going to be, you know, effective in an electric version, right?
No.
I mean, there's a, and, you know, to me, there's got to be some, you never know what technological advances will occur, but there has to be some, some other means besides like a battery. I mean, I just feel there has to be. I had a buddy years ago who was basically studied at the University of North Carolina and studied, you know, biofuels, growing algae, right? That could be used to, you know, as a fuel. I mean, there's a lot of other technologies out there besides just pure, you know, batteries, right? Who knows, right, what the future holds in terms of biofuels and other things, but it's certainly a changing universe, and I just don't think what technology is going to win out yet, right, has necessarily been set in stone.
I just hope it doesn't kill the world global economy haven't figured out this bridge that we've got to cross and how long. Because, you know, the prices for lithium, cobalt, and nickel could delay by several years the timetable for electric vehicles.
Right. And there's only so much of that stuff. Anyway, I mean, those are some of your metals that are, those aren't, you know, metals that are just, you know, that's not iron ore or aluminum or copper, right? I mean, those are metals that there's not as much of.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, if you delay electric vehicles by several years and you're not investing anymore, really, in new oil projects or refineries, we could get caught in a real mess. We really could. So, you know, I wish they would have went the liquid natural gas route, which they considered for a long time. But, you know, that means retooling all the service stations across, and it's still a fossil fuel. But it burns a heck of a lot cleaner than diesel or gasoline. So that's the problem. You know, there's a real problem out there that doesn't look like there's a solution for anytime soon. Well, the good news is people are driving like crazy. Hyatt Hotels, they're flying.
Yep.
Hyatt Hotels marks their strongest month in a comparable system-wide since May of 2019. The airports are full again. The hotels are full. People are vacationing. They're flying. They're driving and waiting for their electric vehicle to replace.
Business travel has picked up. Even.
Business travel.
I was reading something about the hotel REITs, outperforming a lot of the, all the other real estate REITs. And, a lot of that has to do with midweek travel.
Yeah. So, well, and you got guys like Elon Musk saying, hey, you either come back to the office or else. Well, there's a big Apple Developers Conference, the annual Developers Conference. I could have went. I am an Apple developer. The Best Stocks Now app was one of the first financial apps on the Apple platform. There was nothing else like it. And I have yet to see anything that compares to it myself. That's just me. I'm biased. But Apple will watch, keep an eye on Apple. That's not the strongest chart in the world on Apple, to be honest with you. It is up 2% today. It's helping lift the NASDAQ a little bit here today. But that's a big thing every year, and there will be some new announcements coming out of that Apple Developers Conference. You know what else? As I looked across the stocks that are moving today, we're not really participating. One of the big movers today are the Chinese stocks. Well, you know, I just don't trust the Chinese stocks. Didi Global.
I was going to say, look at Didi today.
it just absolutely got smashed by the Chinese government. That is their version of Uber. It's the Chinese Uber, and it's just gone nothing but down. It came out at $18 a share last year. It's been as low as $1.37. Okay, now today, China says they're going to back off a little bit. China can make up anything. Maybe there are cybersecurity concerns. You think China's worried about cybersecurity concerns with Didi and them collecting information on people? I'm surprised they haven't invested in Didi. Maybe they have. I don't know.
Now, they want some of the information.
Yeah.
The
now, all of a sudden, they're backing off. They must have got what they wanted from them. Now, they're backing off a little bit, and the stock's up. But it's at $2.86. And I'm seeing other Chinese stocks. And the other big mover today are the solar stocks because of Biden, President Biden. He's taking off the tariffs that Trump put on a lot of the Chinese companies. So that is really helping the Chinese stocks today. So if you're invested in the Chinese stocks, hey, more power to you. They've had a terrible several years now. Well, what's jumping off the page today? I'm starting to make a list. I'm checking it twice. And I'll give you some of the ones that look pretty good here today when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kitis, the Best Stocks Now show.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, one stock jumping off the page for me today, Amazon has completed their 20-to-1 stock split. So now, instead of paying, $2,560 per share, you can pick it up for $129. It's on sale. Problem is, it hasn't changed. It's, you know, it's half a dozen to one, six of another. Amazon now trades at $128.59. Amazon's up 5.2% today. So Amazon, I mean, the investors like the stock split, and Amazon's got a little bit of lift underneath it. But if you remember, Amazon reported a quarter here recently where their sales were only up 7% year over year. That's anemic growth.
And they said, I mean, they had too many employees.
Right. And they lost money. They lost a ton of money in that quarter. So, okay, go ahead, buy the stock split. The forward P.E. On Amazon's about 50, 45 to 50 on a very thin margin company. The relative strength is 25 on a scale of 1 to 99. So it's not very strong, and it's not very cheap. I like cheap and strong, so it's 0-for-2 in my book as far as a prospect. The other one that's got there's several here. Boyle. What the heck is Boyle? Boyle is the number one performing ETF in the market this year. Boyle is the natural gas ETF, and it's leveraged 2-to-1. Last time I looked, it was up 400-something%, and it's up 16.2% today. That means natural gas has got to be moving once again. And there is actually a divide in the oil industry between companies that focus more on natural gas versus, the heavy crude or the light sweet crude, the actual oil itself. And some companies are both. They do both. But definitely the companies that, are in the natural gas business, whether it's shipping it, changing it into liquefying it, compressing it, whatever, drilling for it, producing it, that's been one of the hottest sectors in the market so far this year. Nowhere does that show up more than in Boyle. B-O-I-L. Okay. Another one here that, you have to, this is one of the biggest winners we ever nailed. This was back in the COVID year, I think, 2000, maybe before it. Remember Daco Energy DQ? Mm-hmm. Oh, that had to be 2020. Now,
it was, it was actually coming out of COVID because you had, of course, it was kind of one of our hedges to Biden getting elected, remember? Because we were kind of the whole green energy deal.
And, yes.
And then also, just growth stocks in general.
Yes.
You know, taking off. So it kind of had both of those tailwinds behind it. But, yeah, DQ.
Now, DQ.
We wrote it up, yeah.
Got to $130 a share back in 2021. It went from four to 130. Now, we didn't catch that whole thing, but I think we had at least a double, maybe
yeah,
not
we wrote
a triple.
About, I'll look and see when we actually what date we actually
yes.
wrote about it back then.
Okay, now it's back in vogue because they have two things you got to think about here. They're having the tariffs taken off by the Biden administration, but they're in the center. TQ was at the center of the Uyghur Muslim slave labor.
Oh, yeah. Now, and we wrote about them on 10-8-2020. The stock's up 59% since. I think the S&P's up 21%.
But along the way, it went to 130.
It's had a ride.
But it was way ahead of the S&P 500 at one point in time. And then all of a sudden, the tariffs and the Uyghur Muslim slave camps came up, and kaboom, it got down to 35. It went from 130 to 35, and now it's back to 61. But today it's up 11.6% on 5 times normal volume. Well, the solar stocks are also up today because all of a sudden the price of their main product, solar panels, if you're an installer, if you're a solar company that puts solar panels on roofs, maybe the price of solar panels is coming down. I also asked the solar guy that was at my house, I said, how fast is the technology changing? Will these solar, if I were to get these solar panels today, how soon will they be, you know, like old, like an iPhone? He said, you know, it's not like that in solar. It's incremental change from year to year. And he did say that the best solar stock, in his opinion, was a technology stock, Enphase.
Mm-hmm.
They have by far the very best,
Inverters. Right? Yeah.
Yep, they put the inverters in each panel, and they are much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
They produce more. And we've watched Enphase, but you know what? That thing's a wild thing. It was a dollar in 2018. It goes to 282 in November of last year, from a dollar to 282, one of the hottest stocks of all time.
And look at it in 2012. It was probably 202.
It went bankrupt for a while. It didn't trade or something like that. It was under a dollar.
Yeah, and we mentioned in the article the problem with the solar industry in general. It's literally, made billionaires and taken it all away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, at least four times, three to four times over. I mean, you go the boom bust phase of that, it's way more than the boom bust phase of oil.
Well, I'll say. And Enphase is on a roll again. It's up 8.1% today on this news. So those are the ones jumping off the board here for me today. I know the market's moving and everything, but if it's Chinese stocks and solar stocks kind of leading the way, you know, I'm not seeing the Microsofts and the AMDs and the Intels and the Googles and the Netflix is really leading the market here today. It's kind of the second and third tier. All right, well, that's the end of our third tier show. We'll try to do better tomorrow. I'm just kidding. You know, get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call. You know, I had somebody stop me yesterday. Do you have a firm here in Mount? I said, well, yeah, we do. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Set up an appointment with us if you're in all the wrong areas. This is Bill Gunnarsson. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.